On Sunday, we've been looking at David's heart to bring the Ark of the Covenant to this new capital city that he had founded, that being Jerusalem. Chapter 6, again, of 2 Samuel, relay the details. It takes two different attempts to get the Ark of the Covenant to the city. The first time, David consults with counselors, but he doesn't consult with the Word of God, and they make the tragic mistake of sending a cart from Kirjath-Jearim to transport the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And then as it's making its way, the oxen stumble, the Ark's going to fall off the cart. Uzzah reaches up and puts his hand, and he's struck dead. And this takes David for a loop, sends a shockwave throughout the people, thinking, what are we doing? Was this the right move? David rallies. The Ark is put at the house of Obed-Edom for just a season, for a couple months. As David figures out what went wrong, what needs to be done different, he consults with God's word, and he discovers, okay, the Ark's supposed to be carried by Levites. They're supposed to be poles. They're supposed to carry it on their shoulder. David restructures a new plan, a new strategy. He's been humbled. And so they go and they retrieve the Ark from the home of Obed-Edom. And as they make their way, every six paces, they stop, they slaughter an animal. It's a bloody trail. They're praising God. They're singing. There's trumpets. They get the Ark. They're into Jerusalem. And David had prepared a place, a tent, that the Ark would reside. It was David's heart to see Jerusalem as the religious capital as much as being a political capital. During all of these things that are going on, David, you know, learning the lesson that God cares not just what we do, but how we do it, how we go about it, that the means don't always justify, that the end doesn't always justify the means, that God cares just as much as the means as he does the end. And so David, throughout this experience, you know, writing songs, he's a prolific writer, expressing what's going on below the surface, popping the hood, sort of speak, to what's happening within his heart. I think that there are a couple psalms. We're just going to look at two in this session, Psalm 65 and 68, that I think can give us some insight into what's going on in David's heart. These are lengthy, so our intention here is not to provide a full exposition of these two chapters, but just to get a feel for what's going on in David's heart and his mind during this season of his life. We begin in Psalm 65. Again, it's titled, it's to the chief musician, a psalm of David. It's a song. It's titled, Praise to God for His Salvation and Providence. He begins, Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. Zion was another word that was used. Jerusalem went by many names. Jerusalem, city of peace. It was known as the city of David, for David conquered it and made it his capital city. It's also known as Zion, or the sunny place, which is a bit of a foreshadowing to the future city of Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom, and whatnot. He continues, O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgression, you will provide atonement for them. And again, David may be thinking about what's happened with this gentleman that, again, trying to do a good thing the wrong way, gets whacked because of it. Under David's instructions and commission, blessed, verse 4, is the man you choose, and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth, of all the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waters, and the tumult of the peoples. Have you ever been to the beach during a storm? It's loud. The waves are crashing. The wind's howling. The rain is beating down. And then it's like right after the storm. Maybe you go to sleep that night, but you wake up and it's just pure calm. Like the ocean is screamed out its own voice, and it's just still. David's reflecting on just this anthropomorphic idea of the power of God. They also, who dwell in the farthest parts, are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows and make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness. The little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. What a beautiful song. Flipping over to Psalm 68, which is, again, pretty lengthy. Again, it's titled The Glory of God and His Goodness to Israel. It's to the chief musician, a psalm of David. He writes, "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides in the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him." Again, remember, in both attempts to bring the ark, it was accompanied by worship and praise. The successful attempt, David is dressed in the lowly garments of the normal priest, just an ephod. He's taken off his kingly robes, his kingly attire, his kingly crown, and he's worshiping as the presence of God, the ark of this covenant that God had with his people is entering. "As a father of the fatherless, the defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solidarity in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance. When it was weary, your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor." David recalling there at Sinai, when God gave the instructions for the ark, when he entered into this covenant with his people. Verse 11, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaim it. Kings of armies flee, they flee. And she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you'll be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold." Man, he can wax a phrase, can't he? He can turn a phrase. "When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as the snows of Zalmon. The mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. The mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. It's innumerable. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, as in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits." I love that. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation. And to God the Lord belongs. And to God, the Lord belongs escape from death. Salvation is in the Lord. It is the Lord's to bestow. And eternal life is his gift. But God will wound the head of his enemies. The hairy scalp of the one who still goes on his trespasses. The Lord said, "I will bring back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood. And the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your procession, O God. the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. Again, David describing the entry into Jerusalem, the procession. The singers went before. The players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God and the congregations. The Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader. The princes of Judah and their company. The princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Verse 28, your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herds of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the people who delight in war. Man, isn't that relevant in today's age? Blessed, Jesus says, are the peacemakers, those who seek to do something to make peace with their brethren. Again, scatter people who delight in war. War sometimes is necessary, but should never be something that one delights in. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hand to God. Sing to Egypt, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah. It means to pause, to think, to contemplate. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. And I love this. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Notice how David closes this. So he says, oh God, you're more awesome than your holy places. So in regards to these great places, the temple, the tabernacle, the ark, Jerusalem, God himself is more awesome. But then he says the God of Israel is he who gives, and there's a bit of a contrast here, strength and power to his people. That God, what's more awesome, it's the people that God indwells than the places that he may reside. Which is why he goes, blessed be God. Do you know that God delights, he takes pleasure in you? So much so that he's taken up residency, that he dwells in you and wants to work through you. As Paul would say, you are a temple of not the dead God, but one who is very much alive. If you enjoyed these two psalms, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. Not only can you catch up with all of these psalms we've been looking at, but you can also watch the Bible studies that they connect to. Hope you'd well. God bless.